Right, welcome back. This is the week you missed. It is the equinox, March 20th, 2023. What does that mean, equinox? I think it means like equal daylight and sunlight in some parts of the world, not obviously everywhere. I don't know, but it's a good day just because it's a good day because spring starts tomorrow, I think, which is pretty awesome. We are out of winter. Spring is probably my favorite month. Fall's pretty awesome. I'm rambling right now. Let's get right into it. What's crazy right now? Something I don't think that there's been too much news about, and I'm going to have probably a unique angle on this, but France right now is popping off. It is, it's been going on for over like a month. My dad was there, I think end of January, and there was like a couple protests on the weekends when he was there. Whole city shut down. It seems like it's slowly been just progressing, 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 getting bigger and bigger. And now it's pretty, it looks pretty wild. Like there's fires in the street. There's trash everywhere. It doesn't look like riots, but it looks fairly close to it. And what is it about? It's about they want to change the retirement age, I believe from 62 to 65, maybe. I'll verify that in a second, but I guess why I have a unique angle on this is because I don't think we should be thinking about that too much at all. I'm with the protester side. Like, how are you guys changing the retirement age after some people have put all of their time in? That's not cool. And obviously, who's going to be working longer? It's the poor people, not the rich people. They'll still retire whenever they want. But here's my thing is with AI seemingly progressing so fast, and automation happening, and we've been having like jobs disappear already because we are, as a whole, getting way more efficient with everything. I don't think this is like too necessary of an argument because in 5, 10 years, the argument's gonna be, what are we supposed to do? Everything's kind of taken care of. So they're saying right now, I don't know if I explained that so clearly, they're saying right now, hey, you need to work till 65, blah, blah, blah. Well, a lot of nurses are going to be replaced by robots, theoretically. A lot of teachers are going to be replaced by robots. A lot of Uber drivers, a lot of truck drivers are going to be replaced by automation and robots. So how are you going to force those people to work till 65? There's not going to be jobs. So I feel like instead of having this crazy, I'm with the protester side. I think like, yeah, that's bullshit. They're changing the age. But maybe the government should have more foresight and be like, hey, this is only actually going to be a temporary problem. What should we do for the problem that's going to happen in 5, 10 years? How are we going to solve all of this efficiency? That doesn't sound like a bad thing, but it's going to cause a lot of issues. What do you think about all that?
So I have two thoughts. One, I think it's so funny because like, look, I think January 6th was a bad thing. This is the obligatory, like whatever, whatever. Like it was terrible. It was awful. The idea that it was like a government insurrection is sort of wacky and wild. And I don't think those idiots ever would have had a shot of actually doing anything. But I think it's just funny when you contrast like American protests, because the French have a long, rich history of this kind of protest and like pretty violent. And it's like, isn't this like a violent insurrection of sorts? You've got people in the streets lighting things on fire, bordering on riots, all with the goal of influencing the government to do something. The definition of terrorism is basically using violence to gain a political end or to further a political goal. So, and it's like, and not that I'm not calling these people terrorists, I'm not saying anything. I just think it's so funny that like, you know, you see this going on in other countries and it's like, oh, it's just what they do. You see a bunch of fucking yahoos in America do this. And it's just like, oh my God, this is the worst thing that ever possibly could have happened. And it's like, well, I don't know, maybe they're both just sort of like, you know, not that big of a deal. But I think that, but to your points of AI, I think it's, I don't know, I'm cautiously optimistic, but at the same time, I think, because the things you rattled off, the professions you listed off, I think are actually the ones that are going to be some of the last to be automated. I think the things that are going to suffer the fastest and most harshly and in the coming years are going to be more white collar professions, which I don't think anyone's going to expect. Because the fact of the matter is that to be a nurse, financial advisors, financial planners, lawyers, I mean, there's already I mean, look, 10 years ago, they were already using, they were already outsourcing like legal document generation to lawyers in India, because India is also based off the British common law system, like the American legal system. And so it was very similar. So they've already been like outsourcing this like low level contract creation, contract review, agreement review, document review, things like this. Now AI is going to be able to do it. Same with like financial planning. Like, look, what is financial planning? It's looking at data sets of numbers and running iterations of them and seeing what can do. There is no way a human could possibly do a better job than an AI that has been well-trained in terms of financial planning. AI could backtest and look at, I can't even think about how many strategies or how many potential investment portfolio mixes, probably in seconds, that would take a financial advisor using a tool, probably days. And the other reason, and this, I think, like, especially because with like nurses and doctors, yeah, I think they'll be AI assisted, but to some degree, because of that, they're involved with humans, you still need a bedside manner. You still need to be able to like be a decent, nice person to someone to make them feel human. And it's not to say that I don't think nurses will eventually be replaced by robots or AI. I think that eventually will happen. I just think the order in which professions are going to be taken down by AI is completely out of whack. And I think people are starting to come around to it. Because
do think like we're improving at a dramatic speed that a lot of people didn't expect. The difference between ChatGPT 3 and 4, from what I heard, is insane. And it was 6 months. So if you think of like in the next 6 months, if we see that same improvement, and it's supposed to be exponential, actually. So every 6 months, if we see more and more improvement, I don't know. I feel like it's coming sooner rather than later. At least in some capacity. It's also like, I don't think we're necessarily going to replace, when I say replace, it's going to be replacing like one nurse, let's say, but it doesn't mean there's not going to be a nurse there. Instead of having 10 nurses, you're going to have one, because that one is going to have the capacity of 10x, because they'll be able to do more. You're still going to need a human element, of course, but I don't know.
Well, I think to your point that you just made, I think what we're going to see is like AI doing intake and triage, taking symptoms, taking blood pressure, taking vitals, and then being like, okay, based on what I'm seeing, I'm going to generate this report to the human nurse, who now is able to spend less time with patients and see more people because the AI is clearing and sort of getting more people through the door and taking that baseline information. It's actually funny. I heard, do you remember PharmaBro, Shkreli?
Of course.
So apparently his new project that he's working on is he's basically trying to create an AI doctor. And that's like his new tech venture that he's working on. And he basically said the same thing. He's like, look, this is not going to replace doctors, but it will be a force multiplier for doctors. The idea will be is that because for, you know, 90% of health issues that people have, and probably even more, it's like, okay, tell me your symptoms. Okay, I run this test. Okay, you have this. Every trip to the hospital isn't like an episode of Dr. House where it's like, oh my God, what's going on? Like, this is crazy. It's like most of the time it's like, this is what's wrong with you. Like certainly there are cases that are sort of mysteries, or like it's hard to narrow it down. But for most people, you go to a hospital, they tell you what's wrong, they give you medicine, you're out the door. Right. You know, that is a vast majority of people do it. I think the other reason I think that these white collar professions are going to be the first to fall, or they're going to fall faster, is because they're not unionized. If you think the Teamsters are going to let trucking be automated without a fucking fight, you are insane.
Yeah,
if you think electricians and union carpenter and the iron workers and the pipe fitters, you think they're going to let AI take their jobs without a fight? These are some of the strongest, most well-funded political organizations in the U.S. These people will be funding. Like, I guarantee if we reach a point where trucking could be replaced by AI, it will be 5 to 10 years before the first AI truck ever hits the road because of political roadblocks. I guarantee that. I would bet any amount of money on that. These people fund politicians, and they are not going to, in the same with, you look at it, who's unionized? Nurses are unionized. Doctors really aren't that unionized. You have, you know, janitors and SEIU and other like service workers, they're unionized, but the people that write in newsrooms or people that are financial planners, they're not unionized. They're not going to have any sort of collective unit that is protecting them and saying, no, you can't give our job to a robot, or at least not without a fight. And so I don't know. I think it will be interesting to see. And like the thing that I've long said is that, like, I think the way that to address this, and I don't know the exact mechanism by how it would work, but let's say if you have a company that says, okay, I can now replace, I have 10,000 workers and I can replace 5,000 of them with AI. I think the government should have some sort of policy that says, okay, well, you paid those 5,000 workers an average salary of $100,000 a year, and they generated, you know, $25,000 a year in tax revenue or whatever. You now, with those 5,000 jobs you replaced, you owe us the same amount of tax revenue. You don't just get to have this technology that displaces workers and creates this massive societal disruption without paying into the kitty to either just support these people and give them money, or at least provide them training and provide them some sort of job assistance to get them into something that is more sustainable. Because I think if we just, and again, like, you know me, like, I'm much more right than you, and I'm pretty libertarian, and I'm pretty like laissez-faire about people should be able to do what they want. But like, this is such a disruptive technology. If we just allow computers and robots to put millions of people out of work and basically tell them, hey, good luck, hopefully you can learn how to program AI because then you'll have a job, we're going to have societal disruption the likes that we have never seen. You know, this is, I think I'm for it.
I'm ready and, for it.
Look, you're for it until people are throwing Molotov cocktails through your windows because you still have a little bit of money. You know, I think it's... Like,
I don't know. I don't know how you can really put regulation on that, though. That's the only thing, because, like, I don't know. I don't see regulation.
The government puts regulation on everything. What do you mean?
And it doesn't work well. And it doesn't work well.
Look, the one thing the government's good at is making people pay them money.
Yeah,
or throw them grass in jail. Like, that is something the government has done pretty efficiently. But yeah, I mean, look, I'm not, and I'll be clear, I'm not optimistic that I think the most likely solution is the AI world ends up being fairly unregulated and that we end up having mass societal disruption from it. I think that's the most likely path. I think it's a matter of what the timeline is like and what the scale is like, because to some degree, there will be pushback from people that are like, I don't want to deal with a robot. Like, no, I don't want your robotic financial planner. I want a guy who I can shoot the shit with and go play around to golf with and who takes me out for a steak dinner. And, you know, when I'm investing another $1 million, like there's going to be a demand for the human touch, even when right. human touch might not be as good as a robotic one. So I think, and again, I think just like, you and I have probably been following this for, you know, a couple of years now and sort of having our eye on this. It right. is just now starting to break into the mainstream about like what is going on. Like my parents now know about ChatGPT and are following it, because I whipped it out like 2 months ago when we got together at my parents' house and their mind was blown.
Yeah,
and now they're sort of paying attention to it and it's only getting better. But I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, what one theory I heard, and this is why also I'm not going to talk too much shit on AI, is that at some point on a long enough timeline, it's likely that AI will create time travel, and that some people have theorized that the AI will go back in time and kill people that were against the development of AI, almost basically like the Terminator, essentially. Yeah.
Wow.
So I don't know about you, Jeremy, but I, for one, welcome our new robotic overlords.
I'm on team AI. I wouldn't be surprised if they're already controlling us. We don't even really realize it.
But I don't know, man. I think we are entering a time of uncertainty. And you know, and I know that my wife and I have spoken about this, but you know, when we have kids or if we have kids, like, depending on how things go, like, we'd frankly probably steer them to like learn how to be a welder, learn how to be an electrician, learn how to be a carpenter. Because the one thing that all these studies have always agreed on is like those types of professions are the ones that'll be the hardest to automate, because you need to pair an intelligent AI along with a very a robot that has really high levels of dexterity and also needs to be able to problem solve on the fly. Because when you're a welder or a carpenter or an electrician, your inputs aren't always the same. You open up a wall and it's like, oh, well, this is not what we were expecting, or it's a little bit different. And humans, mm-hmm. with our completely abstract thought, are able to reason through and be like, okay, well, given this, I'm going to do this. Whereas a computer would be like, these parameters are not exactly what I expected. Therefore, I do not know what to do. Therefore, I'm either going to try something and fuck it up royally, or I'm just going to basically not do anything because I don't know a path forward.
Right.
So I don't know, but I think it's...
Or they could learn how to code, because coding will definitely be needed still, I'd imagine.
No, absolutely not. Are you kidding me? Coding is going to be one of the first things gone too. ChatGPT is already writing code.
True. Yeah, I guess.
Coding is going to be toast. I think that'll be one of the very sooner things to go. And again, that'll be something where, sure, your super, super senior level engineers will still have jobs because they'll be reviewing code. But
basic coding, you're right.
But for creating basic code block and creating basic... the building blocks of stuff that goes together, that's going to get replaced by AI very quickly. I think honestly, the people that are going to be hardest hit now are going to be like these developers that work out of like the Philippines or Eastern Europe or India, where, you know, there were people that were doing basic coding for startups or for companies over here that didn't want to pay, five times as much for a developer in the States. You know, right. Those are the people that are probably going to start getting replaced pretty quick by AI. But I think the jobs that are going to give the most security are jobs where a human element is still important in terms of the way that the receiver of the service looks at it. So things like healthcare, things like therapy, things like, whatever, where it's like, I want to be dealing with an actual human who can relate to me as a human. And then also the things where it's like, it is a combination of mental work and physical labor. Because that's really hard to create with the technology we have now. You know, we might have the AI for it, but we don't have the robot for it. Or we might have the robot for it, but we don't necessarily have the AI to make it be able to make these decisions on the fly. But yeah, I'm nervous about it too. And I'm cautiously optimistic, but I'm also very nervous.
Yeah, no, it's exciting though. I think it's exciting and we'll see. And I think we do seem to have more focus on like the negatives and the positives. Like there's a shitload of positives that can come from it too. I guess those aren't scary and like the negatives are scary, but there's definitely more positive I think that can come. It's just the negatives could be very, very bad. We'll see. What do you have for us this week though?
I figured this is what you were going to start with, but I love the AI conversation. But, our boy Trump might be getting arrested soon and all the drama that comes with that.
I heard it was a very important political figure. I assumed it was going to be George Santos who gets arrested tomorrow. How do you know it's going to be Trump? What if Santos gets arrested tomorrow and nothing happens to Trump? That'd be epic.
That'd be hilarious. That'd be awesome. I'd love it.
George Santos,
American hero. But,
do you think he's actually getting arrested? And then do you think there's going to be protests like he's calling for? Because that could be bad too.
So, it's interesting. And I'm going to put on my tinfoil hat, my conspiracy hat that I'd love to put on. You heard that last week, I believe it was last week, Trump regained access to his Facebook and YouTube channels.
Yeah.
And I found it. I was like, and then like 2 days later, all these rumors are like, Trump's going to be arrested. Trump's going to be arrested. Trump released a truth about, getting that he's going to be arrested imminently. And I found it interesting because people are like, what weird timing that he gets it back. I'm like, no, because I think what they want is they're going to give him his megaphones back so that just as he's getting arrested and being like persecuted in giant finger quotes, they want to give him the loudest megaphone as possible to try to whip up people, to try to recreate January the 6th part 2, because they know that nothing will destroy any Republican's chance more at ever holding, office in the coming years or decades if there's like widespread rioting on behalf of Trump, which to be fair, I don't think will happen. I think you will see idiots in the streets in some places, but like, I don't think you're going to see it. And I've actually seen multiple conservative commentators basically being like, look, the last time Trump called on people to protest and they did, a lot of them ended up rotting in jail with like being, with very questionable due rights. Like, I don't agree with pretty much anything that happened on January 6th. But the fact is, like, people that are getting caught on like basic trespassing charges of being held without bail for like 3 years, that's not right. I'm sorry. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. If you're okay with that, that's not a good thing to be okay with. Yeah. Because believe you me, the tables will be turned at some point. So I don't think you're going to see a lot of protests. I think Trump's going to go ballistic. And I do think also that if this indictment legit is just for the Stormy Daniels payout, that it's, look, I don't think it's right. If it's illegal, you should suffer the consequences. But we're talking about, I think, at best, a misdemeanor charge that
I don't really understand the big deal. It's like, it was from 10 years ago, and it's something I thought we kind of knew. And it's not like any of his supporters care that he used campaign money to do that, whatever, if that's what it was. I don't know. It seems like a little bit of a reach, and it's like, I don't know. To me, it seems dumb. I'm not a Trump supporter at all. I think he's an idiot. He should be in jail probably for a bunch of other reasons. But I think this is like a little weird to like have something 10 years ago that, I don't know. Again, it's like you said, a misdemeanor at best. Yeah, he should get in trouble maybe, but I think they're making a big deal over not too much, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, and I think that's where the angle of him saying, like, this is a political prosecution, this is political persecution. While he's a jackass, he will actually sort of have a point. Because the fact of the matter is, if he wasn't him and someone else did the exact same thing, they probably would call the lawyer, they'd have them come down to the precinct, they might take his fingerprints and book him, but like, it wouldn't be this whole thing. It wouldn't be a whole spectacle. You know, it would be very much worked out between lawyers. There'd probably be a quick settlement, a plea deal. He'd pay a fine, maybe do probation. Like, I don't know. Like, this, it would not be going like this. And apparently people within the prosecutor's office in New York that's handling this there are some that are very much not happy about it. I also heard that people had stepped down months ago because it looked like they weren't going to prosecute him. So I think it's like, the information about this is like all over the place. And I think it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I think it'll be interesting to see. And like, the one thing that I did hear is apparently Trump got invited to testify in front of a grand jury in New York, which, from listening to this law podcast I listened to, who's dealt with defendants, he's a criminal defense attorney, he's dealt with defendants in New York. Apparently the last step before they indict you in New York is they typically invite you in to testify in front of a grand jury. It's sort of like, it's a very strong signal that means you're about to be indicted. So I think an indictment's likely. I think the response will be probably muted. And I think that it's going to end up being a sort of nothing burger at the end of the day. But I do think the odds of it helping Trump or helping galvanize Trump as the nominee could also be very strong, which could also be part of their logic. They're saying, look, if it looks like the government's persecuting Trump, if it looks like Biden's persecuting Trump, then that's going to cement his support behind him and make sure he gets reelected, which means Joe Biden will definitely win another 4 years in office. Because look, I think, let's not be like, I think the Democrats want nothing more than for Trump to run in 2024, because they beat him once before. Joe Biden's beat him once before. And I think they just know that the anti-Trump vote is so strong that look, the other way you can see it is like, there's all these articles coming out now talking about DeSantis and being like, well, if you thought Trump was bad, DeSantis is actually worse because he thinks all the same things, but he's actually smart and he's actually slick. And it's like, and it's just the same old tired bullshit, because it's like, look, I have a long memory. I remember when George Bush was a Nazi. I remember when John McCain was a Nazi. I remember when Mitt Romney was a Nazi and a racist. It just doesn't stick anymore. It doesn't mean anything to people like that are paying attention. It's like, look, if everyone's a Nazi, no one's a Nazi. I'm sorry. It's just one of those things. So I don't know. What do you think? That you think he's going to get indicted? How do you think it would play out if he does?
I have no idea. I feel like it's a big kind of nothing burger. I think he's going to get brought in tomorrow. I don't think that's nothing. But part of me thinks it's going to be absolutely nothing. Like, he gets brought in and then everyone's like, oh, wow, that was crazy. And then we just keep moving forward like before. But I also do think the way the world is, you never know what little thing could spark and then just turn into a wildfire where I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think it's going to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow he gets arrested and there's a protest somewhere that something bad happens and it turns into a way bigger deal than it should be.
Yeah, well, you know, and I think the other thing, and again, I haven't really dug into the story just because I'm sort of getting sick of all this bullshit, but apparently there's like evidence now that like the Biden family made like $1 million off some deal with China. And it's like, it is awfully opportune if the indictment of Trump comes right when they, you know, we start talking about like actual evidence of, because look, I don't care what you say, the Biden family is obviously corrupt. And I will say that about most political families. Yeah. Like, they're obviously corrupt. The Clintons are obviously corrupt. The Bushes
obviously corrupt. When you've been in politics more than 5 years, you're going to be corrupt, in my opinion. Like, any new politician, maybe not. You've been involved 5 years, you got some corruption going on. It sucks.
And if you, and if you've been involved 50 or your political dynasty of multiple generations, you yeah. are corrupt. I yeah. guarantee it. There's no yeah. way you're not.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, I think it's, I don't know. We live in, this is a crazy time. And it's crazy because I feel like after 2020, it's like, oh, we got the vaccine, everything will be fine. And then 2021 happens, January 6th pops off, and it's like, oh man, 2022 is going to be better. And it's like, nope, 2022 even crazier. Like, I feel like we're just in this, I feel like we're on like a roller coaster and we keep going up and we keep thinking we're hitting the big drop. And it's like, oh no, that was just a little tease. And now it's just going to keep getting like more and more pressure building until like we're actually going to have some sort of really, really wild, wild shit go down.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely be talking about it when it happens.
Sure. So, yeah.
I'm ready to start the week. Hopefully nothing too crazy happens. We still have Russia is definitely getting wilder and wilder. China, speaking of China, China's getting wilder and wilder over there. There's wildness kind of going on in a lot of places. So wouldn't be surprised if that explosion happens soon. But great discussion as always. I'm excited to get to work with how corrupt everything is. And I will talk to you next week. Much love. Have a good one.
Sure. Peace.